But as is often the case with many other aspects of the liturgy, there's a history to it. And what you see in your Haggadah is not necessarily what you see in some earlier sources. What I placed on the sheet at the beginning, before we talk about the issue of Heseva itself, many of you probably are familiar with the line in the Manishtana, Shabachol ha'alelos anu ochlim, ben yoshvinu ben misubin, and ha'layla zeh kulanu misubin. Now, that's an interesting statement to make, because how many of you on any other nights of the year eat misubin? In fact, I would venture to guess, as you'll see later, pretty much all of you never eat misubin, even on the night of the Seder. Now, the fact that it's in our Nusach is interesting, but if you look at the earliest manuscript of the Mishnah that we have, one of the earliest manuscripts, Xavier Parma 138. So the Nusach of the Manishtan is as follows. Now, do we have that in our Manishtana? Not exactly. What do we say in our Manishtan? That is not the original Nusach. The original Nusach is Anumakbilin Pamachas, because in certainly Eretz Yisrael at the time, when you had a fancy meal, imagine if you go to, you know, most of the weddings. So before the wedding, so they give you hors d'oeuvres and you might dip them in a sauce or something like that. That's matbilim pamachas. Apparently they used to do that in a regular Suda, but the Leil Seder, they used to do it twice, and that was unusual. Shebachol ha'leilos anu ochlim hameitu matzah v'alayla zeh kulo matzah, that we recognize. And finally, shebachol ha'leilos anu ochlim basar tzali shalokim uvushal halayla zeh kulo tzali. Now that line also, that last line, might be familiar to you, but certainly not from reciting the Manishtana, because that line has been taken out. Why has that line been taken out? Presumably because the minhag, firstly, we don't eat Karban Pesach Bisman Hazeh, number one. And number two, we don't eat Tzali at all. There is a different minhagim. But the minhagim of minhag Ashkenaz, as far as I know, is that we don't eat roasted meat the night of the Seder. Right? So it shouldn't look like we're eating the Korban Pesach. So certainly we can no longer say, Halayla Zeh Kulo Tzali, because it's not true. Now, in our printed Mishnayos, we have a step towards our Manishtana. The first one is Chametz Matzah, which is the first lamb in ours. Then we have Shar Yerakos and Halayla Zeh Maror. Then we have the one of Basar Tzali Shalokim Uvushal, which we don't. And then the last one in the Mishnah is the one of Matabila. Now you'll notice, by the way, what is not in the Mishnah at all. And neither in the printed Mishnayos, neither in the Ksavyan, there's no mention whatsoever of Heseva. No mention of Heseva. We'll talk about what Haseva is later. But whatever it is, whatever manner of being it is, it doesn't appear in the Mishnah. Now, the Rambam, now, how do you know you have to do Haseva? Well, that's because the Mishnah, in the first Mishnah, in the 10th parak, Arvei Tzachim, says it's the top source, V'afilu anishev Yisrael lo yochal ad sheyasin. Even a poor individual may not eat, shall not eat the night of the Seder, until he does Haseva. Now, why does the Mishnah say even a poor person? Well, the answer is because poor people obviously didn't typically eat the Haseva. Why would you not eat the Haseva if you were poor? Well, maybe you didn't have the right furniture, although that I doubt. It also happens to be that if you know what Haseva is, and we'll talk about it later, it is not so convenient to eat the Haseva unless you have someone who's serving you. And as a general rule, poor people didn't have servants. Not only didn't, poor people don't have servants. And thus, the Mishnah has to tell us that Leil HaSeder, even an Ani, who ordinarily would never do Haseva, even an Ani has to do Haseva. Okay. And the Rambam is the first one, first source that I know that sort of encompasses all of the questions. Now, again, we're used to, when I went to yeshiva, we learned, we learned the Manish Tana in Yiddish. And it began with Tatech with the Frag of the Fear Kashas. I want Father, Abba, I want to ask the four questions. Obviously, according to the Mishnah in Parma 138, there aren't four questions. Aside from the fact that they're not questions, they seem to be answers, but that's a side point. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Chametz Matzah Peraches, it's the last source on the Roman number one, Umoskin Hakos Hasheni V'kan HaBein Shoah. The Omer HaKore Manishtana HaLala Zemikol HaLelos. So the Bain asks, the Bain doesn't ask the Manishtana according to the Rambam. He asks whatever questions he wants to ask. We do lots of strange things at the Seder in order so that the children will ask. In fact, that's always a good answer to a question. Whenever your child asks you a question all year round, why are we doing this answer? So the children will ask. So the Rambam says, the Kore now says Manishtana and responds by explaining, number one, the Nusach of the Rambam, and I didn't check if this is actually the good Nusach of the Rambam, but the Nusach of the Rambam here is that we not even matbil once, which reflects probably the practice by the time of the Rambam. It's not the practice in the time of the Mishnah. In the time of the Mishnah, they were matbil pam achas. Number two, shebechal aleilus anochlim chametz matzah, b'alal hazeh kulo matzah. Number three, shebechal aleilus anochlim basar tzali shaloch b'vushal b'alal hazeh kulo tzali. Shebechal aleilus anochlim shayi rakos b'alal hazeh merorim. And then the fifth question, shebechal aleilus anochlim b'yoshimun b'mesubim, halayla hazeh kulonu mesubim. And then the Rambam says, b'zman hazeh eina omer b'alal hazeh kulo tzali she'en lanu kar. So the Rambam now has five questions, which he chops down one bizman hazeh. So we're down to not five questions, but five answers to the question of Manishtana Halayla hazeh. Okay. So apparently, the entry of Mesubin, and Yoshvin and Mesubin, is a very late entry into the Manishtana. But I would like to deal right now with four of my own questions. The first question is, what actually requires Hasebim? Now, typically speaking, I imagine that most of you who do Haseva do the following. You sit in a chair. You're lucky if it's an armchair. Armchairs actually work well. Might be the closest thing. You have a pillow, and somebody goes up and sits down from there. They bring the pillows down, and you lean. Right? You kind of do this kind of silly thing of sitting like this that no one ever does. Right? Now, what do you do it for? Presumably you do it for all, the only things you have to do it and not much more, which would be wine and matzah. So the Gemara Pesachim says the following, V'afilu oni sheb'Yisrael lo'yochal ad sheyaseh, it's commented on Mishmar, itmar. It was said, matzah tzarech haseba, matzah requires haseba, morar ein tzarech haseba, there's no haseba required for morar. It doesn't say you're not allowed to do haseba for morar, it's just not necessary. Yayin, what about the drinking of the wine? Itmar de Shmei de Rav Nachman Sarah Haseba, and Itmar de Shmei de Rav Nachman Eitzar Haseba. There were two traditions recorded in the name of Rav Nachman, one which said the Yayin, the Kosos, require Haseba, and one which says they don't. Velo Pligi, the Gemara says, is actually no debate. It's not a machlokas. Habitarti Kase Kamai, Habitarti Kase Basrai. The first two Kosos, one statement that Rav Nachman applies to, and the latter two kosos, the other statement that Renachman applies to. Now, which is which? Which require leaning and which don't require leaning? So the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, Amri la lahagisa v'amri la lahagisa. There were two traditions. Which way it works? Amri la lahagisa, some say it goes one way. Trei kase, kose kamoi, bo haseba. The first two kosos require haseba. The hashtahu, the kamas chal achevus. Presumably, and here the Gemara gives away, what is the concept of Haseba? Because B'nai Chorin do Haseba. Avadim do not do Haseba. So, some say the first two kosos require Haseba because that's when the Chayrus is beginning. But Trei Kase Basra, Lo Ba Haseba. The last two don't require Maida Hava Hava. What was, game over, and now you don't require any Haseba. And there are those who say the other way. Trei kase basrai v'amri la lahagisa. Adrava, trei kase basrai bo haseba hahi shaita de kahat yachevus. By the time you get to the last two kosos, and you're benching, and you're reading halel, at that point, we're free already. That requires a seva. Trekase kamay lo boya seva da kati avadam hayinu kamar. We're still saying avadam hayinu. We're still slaves. We're still slaves until you get to, you know, Gal Yisrael or some point later in the Magid. And therefore, Kiddush and Magid, the two mitzvos that the first two kosos go on, so those do not require a seva. And the Gemara concludes, Hashtatit marhachi, yidit marhachi, since we have it both ways, idi vi idi bo haseva. Therefore, both sets of kosos require a seva. Now, this is interesting in a couple of ways, very briefly, even though it's a distraction, but it's a very important little piece, because it's interesting that I heard from Rav Schefter many years ago, which is, it's a very strange statement to the Gemara. We're not sure which two kosos require a seva, so what do we say? We're machmir and we do it by all of them. Now, is the requirement of haseba by the arba kosos the oraisa or the rabbana? I'm going to ask a better question. Is the obligation of the arba kosos the oraisa or the rabbana? Does it say anywhere in the Torah that you have to drink wine or drink arba kosos on Lo Pesach? And the answer is obviously no. So if drinking the arba kosos is the rabbana, and certainly the haseba that accompanies the arba kosos has to be the rabbana. So we have a general rule in Psak Halacha that whenever you have a suffek in something that is a din d'oraisa, you go l'chumra, you're stringent. And whenever you have a safek and it did the rabbanon, you go l'kula and you lean. So why does the Gemara say that since it's a safek, you have to be machmir and you lean by all four kosos? There are two answers given by the Ran in his commentary on the Rif here, gives two answers. One is that we only say that a safek of the rabbanon is l'kula, you lean, when it's an effort, when it requires, you know, some effort or difficulty. But here, what's the big deal? Lean by arba kosos. It doesn't cost you anything. The other answer, which is much more interesting, much, much more interesting, is the following. Okay, let's say that we're going to be lenient because Sveika the Rabban on the Kula. Fine. So when it comes to the first two kosos, do you have to lean? If Sveika the Rabban on the Kula, what do you do by the first two kosos? You don't lean. Okay. Now you get to the third and fourth kosos. Do you have to lean? No. So then what is the result of following Sveika the Rabban to its logical conclusion? You will never lean, and you for sure violated the Din Rabbah. So any situation where, by taking the suffix to its natural conclusion, you will wind up with Vadai uprooting the Din Rabbah, so you don't say Sveika the Rabbah Lekula, hence we lean by all four kosos. But it actually could matter in theory, because let's say you forgot to do a Seba. Let's say you didn't do a Seba by the first two kosos, you didn't do a Seba by the last two kosos. Do you have to go back and re-drink the kosos? So that would be a real question. Not going to talk about that. We'll touch very briefly upon a related issue. But anyway, so that's what the Gemara says. What requires a seva? Matzah requires a seva. Mara does not require a seva. Arba kosos, well, two of the four require, two of the four don't. We're not sure which two, and therefore we lean by all. Okay. And the Rambam writes, Ve'emasai on the second page, Ve'emasai tzrichan eseva, V'shas achilas kezayas matzah, U'v'shasiyas arba'o kosos ha'elu. When you eat the matzah and you drink the arba kosos. U'shar achilaso u'shasiyaso. The rest of the Seder, whatever you eat and drink, im heisev hareza meshubach. But v'im lav, eno tzarech. Okay, if you want to lean for the entire Seder, you want to lean when you eat the karpas, and when you eat the maror, and when you eat the shulchan aruch, that's fine, it's not a problem. You're not obligated to, but it's certainly praiseworthy. Interesting, it's praiseworthy to lean, presumably, even when you eat the maror, which seems a little bit odd. Why would it be praiseworthy to lean when you eat the maror? I'm not going to answer that question now, but if I remember, I'll touch upon it later. Okay, so that's the first step. Second step. Second question. Who requires haseba? How many of you do haseba? The answer could be, okay. And there's nobody married here? Okay, not at the moment. So the Gemara says as follows. Isha etzo baila, lo baya haseba. A woman in the presence of her husband. So this would imply, even though the Shulchan Aruch doesn't state this, I think, explicitly, that a single woman does require a seva, but a married woman doesn't. Why? It's not very politically correct to say, but the assumption is, to some degree, she is subordinate to her husband. That's what the assumption is. V'im isha chashuvahi, tzricha haseva. What is an isha chashuva? I know you get the patronizing, it's a little patronizing. All our nashim are nashim chashuvas. Now, isha chashuva actually is a real category. I presume what an isha chashuva means is that she comes from a distinguished family, where in a sense her husband doesn't have the sense that he lords over her. It's like she is from, let's say, nobility, so he doesn't have anything over her. She's not subordinate psychologically to him, and therefore she requires a seva, because she doesn't have the exemption or the excuse. Bein eitzel oven, even though a child is most certainly kafuf to a parent, nonetheless, boy has seva. The assumption is that's not enough, that he's not in that category. But ibayin hu, the Gemara asks, Talmud eitzel rabamai. A student in the presence of a teacher, what would the status be? So this is a question that might seem a little bit strange. Maybe it doesn't seem strange, because today we generally have less reverence for our parents and less reverence in awe for our teachers than maybe previous generations did. It's not necessarily a good thing, and not always is it a bad thing, but in some ways it certainly is a bad thing, but it's a reflection of the world in which we live. So a lot of people, not everybody, but a lot of people don't quite have that same level of awe. But in time of the Gemara, a Talmud Eitzel Rabba was something certainly that would have been a great degree of awe. So what's the din? Tashma, the Amar Abaye, ki havina bein mar. When we were in the house of Mar, Rabba, his Rebbe and his stepfather, Zaginan abirke dahadadi. Zaginan means we would lean on each other's knees. Seems a little strange, doesn't it? How do you lean? How is Heseba leaning on somebody's knees? But as I told you, we haven't spoken about what Heseba is yet. Suffice it to say, what you do with your pillows is not actually Heseba. Okay? But you'll find out what Heseba is. You realize from the Gemara what Heseba is. So when we were in Rabba's house, we used to lean to Heseba on each other's knees. Ki asinan lebe Rav Yosef, but we can have Seder Rav Yosef's house. Amar lon lo tzri chosu. You don't need to. Mora rabach kim mora shamay. Fear of your Rebbe is like the fear of God, and therefore you're not in a position, you're not in a place of freedom, if you want to call it, to do a seder. Ibayin lehum shamishmay. Let's say someone is serving at the seder. What's the din? Tashma the amar Rabbi Yeshua the Levi hashamash sha'achal kezayis matzah kishu mesev yotza. Mesev in lo mesev lo. The shamish who ate a kezayis and matzah. You know, he was nibbling, you know, at the meal. He's busy serving, but he puts down a kezayis matzah. While he was mesev, while he was doing a seva, he's yotzei. Apparently, if he wasn't mesev, he wouldn't be yotzei. Shma mina boy haseva, shma mina. Now, the Gemara hasn't here yet spelled out in this line, what is it in this part, what is it that necessitates haseva, although we already saw it by the Arba Kosos. It has something to do with cheros. And here in the Yerushalmi, we read the following. I can't explain the entire Yerushalmi. The last part is unclear. But Amar of Levi, Ulefi shederach avadim lios ochlen me'uma, v'kan lios ochlen me'suben, lodia sheyatsu me'avdus l'cheirus. So apparently, normally, avadim, they don't have the privilege. It says they eat standing. I'm not sure they actually eat standing. When you try to stand up and eat, you know what your mother says to you? What does your mother say to you when you eat standing? Who eats standing?
Cows.
Horses. I know. My couple is horses. Horses eat standing. Right? But it means not mesev, not reclining. Not whatever haseva is. Then Yerushalmi wants to know, what about Eved lefnei Rabba? What about Isha lefnei Bava? But it's clear that free people require haseva. That includes virtually everybody, except for maybe an Isha she'ina hashuva lefnei Baila and a Talmud lefnei Rabba. But everybody else eats the haseva. Now the exciting part. What is Haseba? There's at least one person in this room who knows what Haseba is, because she's seen what her crazy uncle does. The Gemara in Pesachim, in Arvei Pesachim, says the following. Praktan. What is praktan? Supine. Lav shmei Haseba. What, you know what supine is? Lying down, but which way are you lying? There are two ways to lie down. You're not leaning on a side. You're lying down on your back with your head up. And the Gemara says that's not called Heseba. Hesebas Yamin, leaning on your right, lo shmei Heseba. That's also not Heseba. Vilo od, elashema yaktim kana levesha v'yavol v'yazakam. Not only that, but there's also an issue of danger. It's not that just that you don't fulfill the mitzvah, but it's also dangerous. Now, this Gemara, if you take a look on page 3, skip the pictures for a moment, but only for a moment. Shema Yachdin. The Rashbam quotes two interpretations here. The Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rashbam's preferred interpretation, but I think it's very clearly not the case that that's the correct interpretation. You know the question everybody asks. Leaning on your left and leaning on your right makes absolutely no difference in terms of choking. The way the epiglottis opens, I believe, is hinged at the back, not left or right. So the Rashbam says the following, Shema Yachdin, the first interpreton, is a prakton kor. Remember the Gemara said the following. The Gemara said, A, prakton lashme eseva. B, eseva siyam and lashme eseva. C, v'od shema yachdin kon alavesha. So you all assume that v'od shema yachdin kon alavesha goes back on B. But the Rashbam's first interpretation is no. You know what the fear of choking goes back on? It goes back on A. Now just imagine yourselves the following. Lie down on your back and try to eat. What's going to happen? You're going to choke. Of course you're going to choke, because the epiglottis opens this way, and you're going to choke. Now, so that's the Rashbam says the following. He says, Shemitoshet Savaro Shochela Achora, because his neck is lying back, Shipui Kova Hasosem Es Pihakone, the slope or the angle of the kova as a cap, the epiglottis, which closes up the trachea, niftach, it opens, umiskape lamala, and it folds back, v'kone poshet lamala, v'hamachol nichnas latocho v'nechna. Kach pirish Rabbeinu Shlomo. That's what Rashi says, and Rashi is correct. V'kashali, amai lo samche lahai, v'lo aseh v'syamim. The Rashbam was bothered by the textual order in the Gemara. If his Zeta Rashi is correct, so why do you put it at the end, not in the middle? And therefore the Rashbam says, Ravosai, Pirshu Shemayat Mkonalabesha Deveshit Have Altsad Yamin, the Nichtah Kova Shalpia Koname Elo Kishumate Klapa Yamin, that in fact the epiglottis opens to the right, Vimikanis Bomahalaresakana, Shane Ochlin, Mashkin Nichnasim Elatera Havesha. Well, Lakach, Nirabinai Da Sebas Yamin Koim with the San Khalidide. The Rashbam says he thinks that's actually the correct interpretation based upon the sequence in the Gemara. Biologically speaking, any biology majors, pre-meds here, anybody who has to take biology because you're in some life health sciences. So I don't know if you did anatomy, but I'm pretty sure the epiglottis opens towards the back and that Rashi, in fact, is correct. Now, what is the practical difference between Rashi and Rashbam? Well, let me ask a different question. Assuming that Shema Yachdim Kana Leveshet explains why you can't lie supine on your back, why is it that leaning on your right is not considered a seva? Imagine yourself at the table, right? Still a chair. Sit down. You take a pillow. What difference does it make whether you're leaning like this or whether you're leaning like that? Why should one be considered a seva and one not be considered a seva? So the answer to the question is, as I suggested earlier, that's not a seva. I'm not going to demonstrate to you. That would be a little bit too much. But imagine that you take a couch or a bed and you lie on your side. You prop yourself up with one elbow or you lean on something. It could be the side of the couch or it could be on somebody else's knees. And with your other hand, you eat. Now, if that is the case, why is leaning on your right side? Imagine yourself, pretend, going through the motions. You don't have to do too much of an enactment, but you don't have to be totally shy. You're on your right, lean on your right side and eat. And what's the problem?
Your right hand.
Since most people are right-handed, I don't know about you, I'm right-handed. If I were trying to eat the chicken soup with my left hand, there would be more on the floor than in my stomach. So Hasebes Yamin is Lashme Haseba because most people are righties. And therefore you need to have your left hand typically props you up and you're eating with your right hand. Now, the nafka mina, by the way, between these two reasons, the practical difference between Rashi and Rashbam is, what does a lefty do? Because if the reason has to do with choking or danger, then I presume, you know, I know that they say lefties are the only ones in their right mind, that the hemisphere is reversed, but I'm pretty sure that the anatomy of lefties is the same as that of righties. You know, and I read in the news recently, there was a woman who died at 97, and it turned out that her entire internal anatomy was reversed. Usually it leads to major health issues, but not in her case. And they never knew her entire life, except when they took out her appendix, the surgeon noted, was kind of in the wrong place, all right? But bottom line is that lefties and righties epiglottises are not reversed. They're not reversed. So the bottom line is that if the concern was over the epiglottis, then everybody should lean on their left side, including lefties. But if the concern is eating, then obviously a lefty whose more facile hand is his left hand should be leaning on his right side. And this is mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. And the Ramah, they paskin like the Rashba. You can only get away with that, I think, when you're not, either if you're a talented lefty or you're not doing real hasevi. Now, I brought the pictures for there. You look at the pictures on top. Oh, your picture, you got color pictures, I guess, I'm lucky, okay. They printed it out here. So you can see how people are eating. You see they're sitting on like a couch, a chair. Their legs are stretched out in one direction. They're leaning with their left arms, and they're eating, and their right arms are free. And you can see that they're right, in some cases, I'm not sure what they're doing in that top picture, but they're basically eating with their right hands. Now, once you understand that that's a seba, then everything in the Gemara makes sense. But that obviously raises a profound question. If you're not yotze the mitzvah matzah, and Arba Kosos without haseba, well, folks, are you yotze the mitzvah? So you'll say you're not nashim chashuvos, but I think you have to be married to invoke that defense, right? So your mothers can say, they don't do haseba. What about you? What about all the men in the family? So what's the story there? So the answer to that question, although it's disappointing to some, I believe, is the following. The Hagos Maimonios, who was a Talmud of the Maharam Rutenberg, who has a little commentary on the bottom of the Rambam, where he quotes all the Ashkenazi Torah, especially when it disagrees with the Rambam, he says the following. Rabbi Abya, Rabbi Lezer ben Yoel Halevi, a famous Rabbi Abya, the German Rishonim, Kosav, She'enam Tzrichim Haseba Bizman Hazeh. One does not require Haseba today. Sharei B'nei Hari Einam Mesubin. Free people don't do a seba. You see, in the time in the Roman period, when they had their fancy meals, the nobles sat around doing a seba while they were served. Now, I mentioned earlier to you, if you don't have anybody to serve you, a seba is a little trickier, because it's a little hard. If it's a little hard, I would know. In our family, we do a seba. And I can tell you, when you're lying down on the couch, having to get up is a little bit of, it's a little bit of a, you know, production. And when you're in a chair, it's not hard to get up. So it's very convenient if you were to have a server to bring in the water for Netilas Yadayim, to bring in the matzah, to bring in everything that needs to be brought in. It's very convenient when you have servants. If you don't have servants, then you're at a loss. So the Rav Yoh says, today, and I believe this is true in the medieval period in Ashkenaz, I assume it was true, in France and Spain, people didn't do haseba. They just didn't anymore. That wasn't the way kings ate. Right? If the Queen of England has a banquet, I'm pretty sure you go to the President of the United States has a state dinner, nobody does haseba. Right? It is the most fanciest food, the most dignified pomp and circumstance, but nobody does haseba anymore. So the Rav Yoh says, we just don't do haseba. Right? The whole point of haseba is to demonstrate that we're b'nei chorin. You don't do that to demonstrate b'nei chorin. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, incidentally, the bottom source on sheet 3, Yisader Shulchan Yofet Bekelim Noam Vithi Kocha. You should have the Seder table, the table set nicely. V'yochen Mekom Moshavo She'yeshev V'haseba Derech Chayus. He should have his place, seated place, so that he should be sit with haseba in a manner of freedom. And the Ramah says, "Vafilu ani she'ein lo karin, who has no cushions, yeshev al hasafsa." What does yeshev al hasafsa mean? What? Anybody? He should sit on a bench, sit on a stool. I believe that the text of the Ramah became corrupted because people weren't really doing Haseba anymore. And I say that because if you look at the correct Nusach of the Ramah, and the Mishnah Berurah has it, it's Yosef al Hasafsa. You know what Yosef al Hasafsa means? Are any benches in here? Imagine this were a bench. You know why it wouldn't be fun doing Haseba on this? If you don't have Karamuk Sasos? Ouch, it's a little hard. So even if you don't have cushions, then Ani should do still do Haseba on the Sasos, even though it's hard. You're demonstrating, you're eating Berachinus. Okay, so that is in fact, you want to know what is real Haseba? That is real Haseba. If a student came to me and said, Rebbe, what should I do now that I've persuaded you, now I persuade you that you're not really doing Haseba, what am I supposed to do? So the answer is, I think the Klal Yisrael, knowingly or unknowingly, has paskin like the Rav Yoh. The Ramah, by the way, the Ramah says the following. He says, the Mahaber says that an Isha Hashuva requires Haseba. The Ramah says that all of our Nashim are Nashim Hashuvos, but he says the Minog is not to do Haseba because they rely upon the Rav Yoh, that nobody needs to do Haseba. The Ramah does further invoke this opinion of the Rav Yoh to say that if you forgot to do Haseba by the Arba Kosos, in a situation where normally you're not allowed to drink more Kosos if you were Yotze, you can't add Kosos, he says you don't go back and drink. If you really weren't Yotze, you'd have to go back. But the Ramah says that after the fact, you rely in situations where you can't drink anymore, you can't add another Kos, the Ramah says we rely upon the Shita of the Rav Yoh. Because really, Mikra Din, the Rav Yoh is correct. So personally, as I said, in my home, we have a little table and we pull the couches around and some chairs. We do that, as I, you know, many years ago, for whatever the reasons, the way Yom Tov fell out, it was just very hard to put the table together where we were going to store it. So my wife and I said, you know, maybe this year we'll just sit at the table. And my children, who were not so young, my older son was probably 12, maybe a little younger than that, started howling. It is such a central part of their Seder. This is certainly a Kiyum Kadesh Yishalwa Tinokos. So if you're ever able to do it, it will create a very, very memorable Seder for your children. So anyway, the last of my four questions is, why is Haseba required? And this we touched upon earlier, it came up, which is the issue of Chayrus. And that is the way B'nai Chorin eats. Okay. Now, I wanted to spend a few minutes talking about what I'll call the foundations of Haseba. Because I think that the issue of Haseba is not just a question of chayrus, of freedom. I think there's actually something more very deeply there, a message that I think perhaps should resonate particularly today. I don't mean specifically in El Pesach, but in the society in which we live. And once we go through it, I think you'll understand why. Firstly, just a comment about what is Haseba from a halachic perspective. If you take a look in several places in Chumash, where the Torah speaks about people sitting down to break bread, for example, Yosef's brothers after they throw him in the pit, Vayishvu lechol lechem, and Yosef with his brothers when they came down to Egypt but didn't know he was Yosef, where it says Vayishvu lefano, HaBechor kibchoraso. In both of those cases, the Targum does not translate Vayeshvu as Yesivu, which is the Aramaic equivalent, Tav instead of Shin, but it translates it as Ve'aschar. The word in Aramaic for Saviv, which means around, in Umplus, is Schor Schor. Repeat it, I don't know why. Schor Schor. In fact, I believe the Aramaic word for moon, sihara, is probably the same word of schar schar, the moon which goes around. It says, va'ascharu, it means they sat around. It doesn't mean they sat down, but they sat around. Now, what is the root of the word heseba? Anybody know? Is Hebrew a requirement that started? Hebrew language? Yeshiva College, they complain all the time. Knowing, really, really knowing Hebrew is the greatest gift any school could give. I'm not sure that any of the schools do it, but they're pretty sure they don't. But it's the greatest gift. What's the root of the word Haseba? Samach Beis Beis. It's the same word of Saviv. Heseba means, at its core, not leaning. Heseba refers to the process of sitting erect. There is a Gemara in Brachos which says the following. The Gemara in Brachos speaks about whether people who ate at the same time are mitzarfim, they combine for benching, or they eat separately. And the Gemara, the Mishnah says, Hesebu in, if they Hesebu, then they make the zimu. Lo Hesebu lo. So the Gemara says the following. Your minu, is that really true? Asara shayu holchem baderech. Apo pisha kulam ochlem yikikarecha. If 10 people travel in another way, even though they all eat from one loaf of bread, everybody benches, or everybody is benching. This is the bracha before. Everybody makes their own bracha rishon. Yoshvu lechol, if they sit down to eat, avo pisha kol echad ve'echad ocha mikara, even though each person brought their own lunch from home, their own loaf of bread, echad mevarech lekulam, one makes the bracha for everybody. Katani, the braisa says, yoshvu avo pisha lo hesebu. Yoshvu, even though they didn't do heseba. So why is it then that the braisa says that that one person makes the bracha for all of them? If they don't do a seba, why are they one entity? And the Gemara answers, Amar of Nachmar Yitzchak, Kagonda Amre, Nezo v'necho lachma biduch plan. No, you know when yeshiva counts to make them one? If they said, let's all go eat in such and such a place. They travel on the way and they say, you know, when we get to 34th Street in Lexington, we're going to sit down in the corner and we're going to eat together. Then they are of one unit. In other words, what is Haseba about? Haseba is not, I know there's Derecheiros. Haseba is about fusing. It's not, if you're a family of X people, it's not X people are eating a meal. It's X people are eating a meal together. They become one entity. And the basis for that, what is the basis for that idea? It's actually deeply rooted in the halacha. The Torah in Parshas Bo, we read this a couple of weeks ago, Parshas Nachodesh. Davrul koladas yisrael emor ve'asor lachodesh hazeh. Biyakulahem ish sel beis avos sel abayis. You can't just stam show up and eat Karban Pesach. The Pesach, which is the center of the Seder, not unfortunately for us because we don't have Beis HaMikdash, you can't just show up. In order to eat from a Karban Pesach, you have to be memuna. You have to be appointed, designated, attached. You have to form your chabura from before the shechita of the Pesach. If you weren't memuna ala Pesach, you cannot eat. You can't eat from somebody else's Pesach. Do you know why? Because the whole idea of Karban Pesach is taking a family, whether it's a biological family, whether it's family and friends together, and making them one entity. They are eating together. So much, and you look at so much so, the halacha says, b'vayis echad, the pasuk says, b'vayis echad yechel. The Karban Pesach must be eaten in one house. Lo sotzi min habayis min habasar chutzah. Now you might think this is about your house and the doors of your house, but that's not how the halacha understands it. Targum Unklus here records the standard rabbinic interpretation, b'chabura chada yisachel. Not in one house, in one group. You could have two groups in one house. You're not allowed to take your Pesach and eat with the other group. You have to eat with your chevra. Not only this, there is an opinion in the Gemara Tanu Rabbanon, minayin shen shochten es haPesach al hayochid. How do you know? Let's say you have a hearty appetite, right? You're not allowed to have leftovers from the Karban Pesach, which is why part of the whole strategy of the Pesach. The Pesach is nechal al hasova. It's eaten when you're sated. If it were eaten when you weren't sated, if you were hungry, firstly, you might likely break a bone trying to get to the marrow, number one. And number two, you'd be tempted to be a little bit of a chazir in eating this sheep. And you basically, I'm hungry, I have a scorny little lamb, and I'm going to eat the entire thing. Just me. By eating the Pesach al HaSova, you don't have so much room. Which means in order to guarantee that the Pesach is going to be eaten completely, you have to invite a lot of people. So much so that Rabbi Yehuda believes, Minayim in Shochten es haPesach al hayochid, Talmud Lomar, it's a great running a stop sign, running the Asnafta, Lo Suchal Lizboach es haPesach be'echad. The Pasuk is Lo Suchal Lizboach es haPesach be'achad she'arecha she'ar shamachan haseloch, but the Drasha reads, Lo Suchal Lizboach es haPesach be'achad. You can't shech the Pesach when you only have one person eating. So the whole idea of a Karban Pesach, is that it's not eaten alone. That a family, that a group of people come together and they fuse and they become one. That is the idea of heseba. Why is heseba central for the Seder? Because when you lie down, the way you lie down is saviv. Everybody is around looking at each other. Now, the way we sit at a table also, it accomplishes the same thing. You sit at a table and you see everybody. If a bunch of people are on their way and they sit on a ledge and they're each looking out at the scenery, they're not looking at each other. That's not heseba. Heseba is we sit and we eat together and we look at each other. And that, I believe, is the other foundation. It's not just about derecheus. It's about joining with other people, joining with family and joining with friends. Ironically, I think that these two messages actually deeply resonate in our society in ways that we don't think about it. I'm sure many of you have seen, maybe it's not true at Stern, but I assume it is, but I know it's certainly true in Yeshiva College. You walk into a classroom, a teacher walks into the classroom before a class, and what is happening? What's going on? You got it. My wife has described this. It used to be this way. You walk into a classroom, they're not talking to each other, occasionally they are, they're all looking at their phones. They're all looking at their phones. We live in a world where people do not achieve connection. Connection can only be achieved with other human beings, not with a device, and by looking at each other. That's what it is. That's what it means to be human. That's what it means to be human. What has unfortunately happened in our world, and I've said this publicly a number of occasions, is the goal of technology is supposed to be, devices are supposed to be our slaves. The world in which we live, however, is what Koheles describes as Ra'isi Avadim al Susim, Visarim Holchim Kavadim al Aretz. We see the slaves are riding on the horses, and the princes, the nobles, are leading the horses along on the ground. Right? It's an upside-down world where instead of us being B'nei Chorin and our Chayrus enhanced by our technology, instead we have become Avodim to our technology. In which case, the lesson of Heseba at the Seder, both issues come together. The possibility, slaves don't connect with one another. It's free people who connect with one another. The idea of Heseba at the Seder is we sit around telling the Pesach story, talking to each other, looking at each other, and this is accomplished because Heseba means we're all sitting around effectively in a circle. And so I think as we as Pesach is coming up this Friday night, and the Motzei Shabbos as well, for those of you at least keeping 2 days here, or if you're in Eretz Yisrael and you're keeping 2 days. So I think that it's worth considering, as we do Heseba, not just the mitzvah of Magin, not just the mitzvah of Matzah, and Arbakosos, and Moror. And before I forget, I promised to answer, why is it okay to lean by Moror? The answer is, Heseba is for the entire thing. Nobody does a seba and then gets up in the middle to show that they're not leaning by Mara. So you don't have to lean by the Mara, but it's a natural thing to do, to lean by Shulchan Aruch and Mara and everything else. So as you are engaged in whatever form of seba you do, whether it is leaning on your pillow sideways, sitting on a couch, sitting normally at the table, but around the table looking at each other, it's worth thinking and reconsidering our commitment to connecting with other people. And that, in fact, is the fundamental definition of what it means to be a Ben Chorin or a Bas Chorin. Any questions? Questions? Well, I think I answered. Yes. Okay.
Because the seva could be accomplished with like sitting around the table, does that take away from the halacha, or the halacha still stands that we're supposed to like lie down?
So, if you asked me, really, I don't think you need to do seva. I think it makes for an extremely memorable Seder. It's nice in a certain way. It does, for those who don't do Heseba normally, which is all of us, it takes a little bit of adjustment getting them comfortable because we're not used to leaning like that. I think it's very nice. If you ask me, Al Pi Din, I would never say we paskin like the Rabia, l'chatchila against the Shulchan Aruch, except I think Klal Yisrael has paskin like the Rabia, just people don't realize it. Because I don't believe that you accomplish, I don't think that leaning on your pillow a little like this actually at all, if you don't hold it the Rav Yah, you wouldn't be Yotze. And therefore, if you ask me, does leaning on your pillow accomplish anything? No. So really, since we don't hold like the Rav Yah, should you lean on a couch? Yes, but that's not the Minhag Yisrael. The Minhag Yisrael normally is to sit at a table. So I don't, you know, if you want to lean Zecher Laseba, that's very nice, but it's not necessary, in my opinion. Any other? Yes?
Right.
Yes, but that isn't the reality, right? You have to stand up when you're when Rabbi walks in the room, but you don't have to stand all the time just because Lashem, because you know Melocha Laretz Kivodah, right? So the analogy and the fear of one's Rebbe should presumably not be as great as the fear of God. Right? But the idea is that because Mor Rabbi Kamar Shemayim, there's a certain degree of you know fear or whatever else. I'm not sure if it's something else.